All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is my preview of Super Bowl 52 between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon fan sites on the internet, also the host of this Locked On Falcons podcast. And we're going to put our very unique Locked On Falcons spin on this upcoming Super Bowl matchup. I know many of you listening are not necessarily invested in this final game with the Eagles and the Patriots. Two pretty fan bases that aren't necessarily reputed for their diplomacy, I guess maybe is the word of being the most diplomatic way I could say it. So I certainly understand that where some people will watch this game hoping both teams find some way to lose as opposed to either team winning. I will admit I'm, of course, rooting for the Eagles like I think most human beings are. I will admit also at the top of the show that I think the Patriots will wind up winning. I have also been expecting the Eagles to lose their last three games. They have not. So part of that is a little bit of a reverse jinx sort of notion that if I continue to doubt the Eagles for a third week in a row, then that they will find a way to prove me wrong again. I do think looking at this game and looking at some of the matchups, and we'll get a little bit more deeper into that in a little bit, but I do think this is a potentially favorable game for the Eagles. I think they have a lot of favorable matchups, and this is a winnable game for them, but because the Patriots are the Patriots, they always seem to find a way to win, and certainly the fact that Nick Foles is starting this game does not give me a lot of confidence that, you know, they will be able to overcome the Patriots with a backup quarterback. Now, later on in this episode, I will be inserting some audio from the hosts of the Locked On Patriots, which is Mark Schofield, who we've had on this podcast in the past, as well as Locked On Eagles, which is Ben Solak and Michael Kist, who, of course, we've had on this podcast in the past as well. And they will be offering their in-depth analysis, which is much deeper than what I am going to be providing here, and some of the key matchups. It's about 2 5-minute clips of audio that we'll tack on at the end of this episode once I'm done talking, which, you know, I promise, unlike the last like 6 or 7 episodes, will not be nearly as much as those were. Those are the guys that if you really want to get the more in-depth breakdowns of what's really going to happen in this game, I definitely would suggest to you guys to go listen to Locked On Eagles or Locked On Patriots if you want. You know, those guys are great in terms of their analysis, and you'll get just a snippet of this. And so if this wets your whistle, then by all means go and download and stream or whatever those past episodes that they've dropped this week on the upcoming Super Bowl matchup. Now, one of the things I did wanted to do, you know, a week or so ago, I was like, I'll watch them all 22 of these two teams and really come in with a really strong, deep analysis, you know, that sort of thorough brand, Aaron Freeman brand of analysis that, you know, is so prevalent on this podcast. But I didn't do that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was like, I don't have enough energy to really sit down and pour through hours of film. Just to get prepared for this game when, you know, nobody really wants that. So I will give my analysis. I will talk about some of the potential prominent matchups, sort of where I sort of see the game going. But, you know, just in case I wind up being very wrong on some of this stuff, then, of course, you will say this is why you need to do your research. So let's jump right into it. Let's start off talking about the strength versus strength, the Eagles defense versus the Patriots offense. This is really probably the matchup that's going to determine the outcome of the game. If the Eagles defense, as they are capable of doing, is able to dominate this game, similar to what we saw against between the Broncos and the Panthers a couple of years ago, similar to, you know, the reason why the Broncos were in the Super Bowl that year is because they dominated the Patriots in the AFC Championship game with their pass rush. I do think this is a very winnable game for the Eagles. At least it would be within reach, and they'll have an opportunity to win it. As I mentioned in that Broncos game, you know, the key to slowing down this Patriots offense is really beating pressure on Tom Brady. And the Eagles have been as good as anybody in the league at doing that. And but, you know, at the same time, Tom Brady is one of the best in the league when you do get pressure on him. So you have to get an inordinate amount of pressure. You look at the Pro Football Focus metrics. Tom Brady is number one in the NFL in passer rating when he's under pressure, according to Pro Football Focus, with a 96.6 passer rating. So you look at the data, and it's like, even if you do get pressure on Tom Brady, that's not, it's not just like all of a sudden, oh, we got some pressure on Tom Brady, he's going to stop. You got to hit the guy. I think you got to hit him often. Like, if basically, putting a number on it, if the Eagles have less than 10 hits, quarterback hits in this game, I don't think they're going to win the game. Like, even 10 might not do it. They might have to get up to like 15 or something like that. And I think they will have the opportunity to do so, given some of the matchups that the Eagles' defensive line has against this Patriots' offensive line, which isn't great. We know the Eagles can get after it. We've seen that firsthand. Falcon fans have seen that. And anybody who's watched the Eagles play this year knew that that's really been the strength of their entire team. Patriots are dealing with some injuries up front. Cameron Fleming has been replacing Marcus Cannon for the last couple of games at right tackle. He'll be matched up against Brandon Graham as well as Chris Long in this game. Nate Solder has not been a great left tackle for the Patriots the last couple of years. So even though he might be a more proven player than Cameron Fleming is at this point, it's not as if he's going to fare particularly much better against guys like Barnett and Vinnie Curry playing at that left tackle spot. The interior is going to be the key, though, because with a quarterback like Brady, if you can sort of get that interior pressure and prevent him from stepping up in the pocket and being able to slide away from pressure, that's really going to affect him. And again, the Eagles have a favorable matchup, and we're going to have to see Fletcher Cox. We're going to have to see Brandon Graham when he kicks inside. Timmy Jernigan as well. Have to really dial up the pressure on the interior. Shaq Mason is the right guard. Remember, Shaq Mason was the guy that got beat a number of times by Grady Jarrett in last year's Super Bowl. He has had a pretty good season, however, despite that. So, it is going to be a tough matchup for him going up against guys like Fletcher Cox. Joe Tooney is the left guard, almost a Falcon, hashtag almost a Falcon. I do think the Falcons probably would have taken him had they had the opportunity. But anyway, that's a tangent for another day. He's the left guard. He'll be probably facing a lot more Jernigan and Brandon Graham when he kicks inside, while Cox will be going up against Mason. So those matchups are going to be the ones to watch. And so if the Eagles can really create that havoc and disrupt what the Patriots are trying to do from a passing game standpoint, then I think the Eagles are going to be put in favorable situations. Of course, the Patriots are going to counter, like so many teams have done this year when they face the Eagles, because they are afraid of that formidable pass rush, is they're going to rely heavily on a quick passing game. And I think, you know, the Patriots do that pretty much as good as anybody. You're going to look at a lot of targets to the running backs in this game, I think. You go back to that Giants game, which was sort of the template I was expecting and hoping to see the Falcons utilize against the Eagles. You know, Sark, say what you want to say. But in that Giants game, the Giants featured a lot of short passings, a lot of double moves. When they did try to take shots down the field, they went double moves. But Eli attempted 57 passes, and 15 of those went to the running backs. 16 of those went to Sterling Shepard in the slot. 13 went to Evan Engram, the tight end, who's basically a slot receiver that lines up with his hand in the ground. And 13, the remaining, went to primarily Roger Lewis and a little bit of Tavarius King. But the Eagles were pretty good, you know, outside of a couple of big plays by Lewis, were pretty good at keeping the outside covered with their outside corners. It was really the short of Shepard and Engram that ate a lot in a lot of the quick passing game. Of course, the Patriots have, you know, a great tight end in Gronkowski. They have Brandon Cooks as their outside stretch guy. Amendola has, you know, been solid. You know, he's not Julian Edelman quite, but he's been solid as a slot receiver. And, of course, their running backs are as good in the passing game as any you'll find in the league. You know, you go back to last year, James White had 16 targets in that Falcons Super Bowl. I don't expect him to have 16 this week, but between him and Deion Lewis, it wouldn't shock me to see them combine for 16 targets. So if you're looking, scouring the internet, MyBookie or wherever, and you see a prop bet that talks about targets or receiving yards for running backs, I would probably put some money on the Patriots. But I don't think the Patriots are going to be purely dink and dunk. They're going to take their shots down the field. And again, the Giants were able to do that with double moves. We'll see if the Patriots will try that again as well. Brandon Cooks and Gronk are their two main deep threats. obviously, you know, I don't have to explain Gronk to you. If you've watched football at any point in the last 7 years, you know about Rob Gronkowski and his abilities. He's out of the concussion protocol, so his status should be good to go on Sunday. Brandon Cooks, you know, has really found a home as a deep threat. That's basically how the Patriots use him. You look at his number of yards that he's had this year on deep passes, according to Pro Football Focus, on 20-plus yard throws. He's second in the league behind Tyreek Hill. He's also second in the league in the highest percentage of his targets being deep throws. So, you know, basically Cooks is arguably the number one deep threat in the league this year. That's basically how the Patriots have used him. I don't necessarily see him getting favorable matchups quite to the degree against a guy like Ronald Darby, but maybe against a guy like Jalen Mills, maybe he'll see a little bit more favorable opportunities there. So I do think the Patriots will take their shots, and if, you know, Cooks can complete and catch a couple of those would be big for them to get those big players, because you guys know I talk constantly about how big plays matter and all that type of stuff. You know, the Gronk matchup is going to be interesting because the Eagles have Malcolm Jenkins, they have Rodney McLeod, they have Michael Kendricks, but Gronk is Gronk, and he's going to be a tough matchup for even those two guys, Jenkins and Kendricks, who are, you know, two of the better athletes at their position. Jenkins is as good a three-way safety as you're going to find in the league, you know, on par with Keanu Neal and whatnot, if not arguably better. I'm sure Eagles fans are like, he's better than Keanu Neal, but, you know, whatever. That's a conversation for another day. Keanu Neal's my guy, so I got to represent. But Malcolm Jenkins is a very good player, certainly. And, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup for them. You know, obviously you're not expecting them to shut down Gronk, but if they can keep him somewhat contained, that'll be a big, huge move for the Eagles defense, because then all of a sudden it's, you know, if they can tackle in space and prevent guys like James White from turning a 4 yard throw into a 10 yard gain, guys like Deion Lewis doing the same, they should be in good position defensively. Now, I want to switch gears to the other side of the ball, but again, I want to once again plug Locked On Patriots with host Mark Schofield. Definitely should be tuning in. Mark's a really good guy. Writes for Inside the Pylon, so, you know, he's got a wealth of football knowledge. Get over that Patriots fan hurdle that you may be going through, and I certainly guarantee you, if you subscribe to that podcast, you will, in 6 months, when the Falcons season opens up, you will be able to school me on certain things about football. So definitely check out Locked On Patriots, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So let's talk about the Eagles offense versus the Patriots defense. Not as much. I don't think this is as compelling a matchup, but I do think it's going to be interesting, because I do feel like if the Patriots offense can get off to a fast start, they can sort of put this game away out of the reach of the Eagles offense. We saw the Eagles offense explode for big points against Minnesota. We've seen a Andy Reid offense in week one of the season really carve up the Patriots defense. I suspect that the Eagles will borrow pages from that playbook, Doug Peterson, a Reed disciple, whatnot. But I don't, even though the Patriots defense is okay, it's like nothing special, I do think the fact that, you know, the Eagles are without Carson Wentz, I think really sort of plays into this. Like, this is a situation where if Carson Wentz was starting this game, I would have like, oh, the Eagles are going to drop 30 on the Patriots defense with Wentz. But with Foles, I'm thinking like their max is probably like 24. 27 maybe. And I think that the Eagles defense plays particularly well and holds the Patriots to 21, 20 or less points, then I think that's a very winnable game for the Eagles. If not, if this game gets into the, you know, if the Eagles have to win this game, you know, 28, 27, I think this could be a very tall task for them, even against a defense as susceptible as the Patriots, given some of their lack of pass rush, some of their lack of speed at the linebacker position as well. And so I think the Eagles will try to attack that in a lot of ways, but I don't expect them to sort of throw open this entire playbook for Foles. I think they'll do what they've done the last couple of games, is let Foles manage the game. And if they get opportunities, hopefully he'll take advantage. He'll make the throws that he'll need to make. But I think this is going to be more likely the Falcons-Eagles game than necessarily the Vikings-Eagles game. Will be interesting to sort of see with the Patriots defense what the thing is that Bill Belichick will try to take away. Is it going to be the RPOs? Is it going to be Zach Ertz? Is it going to be the running game? We know the Patriots' MO has always been, we're going to take the thing that you're the best at, and we're going to take that away. And so then you're going to have to rely on your second and third options. And so I think with the Eagles, the good thing for them is guys like Aguilar and Jeffrey are pretty good second and third options in the passing game. You have a healthy running game. You have an offensive line that has played really well down the stretch, despite the fact that Jason Peters has been missing. But it will be interesting to sort of see, like, these are the sorts of games where Bill Belichick earns his reputation as the league's best coach. Because you look at the Eagles' offense and you say, okay, well, Vitae is standing in for left tackle Jason Peters. He's been able to hold his own the last couple of weeks since Peters went down. Maybe Belichick will figure out some ways to exploit that. You also have Foles, again, the backup quarterback, who is up and down a little bit. Probably the best backup quarterback in the league, the best number two quarterback in the league. If he's not number one, he's certainly in the top two or three. But certainly that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a high-level starting quarterback. It just means he's a low-level starting quarterback. And so we'll see if the Patriots are able to dial up some certain things that can sort of get him out of whack and off kilter and whatnot. So we'll see how this game goes. I think it'll be an interesting, fun matchup. If you're a fan of football, I do think you can find some things to get intrigued by. I think, obviously, again, as I said at the top, the Eagles defense versus the Patriots offense, I think is if there's one thing that's going to determine the outcome of this game, the Eagles win if we come back and say, man, that Eagles defensive line, that Eagles defense was so good. How is it, you know, the narrative, the rapid reaction that you guys are going to hear from me on Monday if the Eagles win is going to be like, man, it's a shame that Jim Schwartz didn't get a job, because the job he did this season with that Eagles defense and looking at that defensive line, and that's how you want to build your team front to back, all that type of stuff, that'll be the narrative that we're talking about. If the Patriots win, it's the same old narrative. It's Belichick. You know, the Eagles were good, but not good enough. You know, Doug Peterson, Nick Foles, whoever, you know, they did a great job getting the Eagles this far, but, you know, there's a reason why Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have, you know, been facilitating arguably the best, the greatest football dynasty that we've ever seen in the history of professional football. So, and, you know, it's probably the conversation for the greatest dynasty in professional sports, even though I'm sure some of those Celtics, old Celtics dynasties would beg to differ, but, you know, we'll see about that. But, yeah, so I think that those will be the talking points on Monday, if and when a certain game goes a certain way. Again, I think the Eagles have a shot at winning this game, so if they do wind up winning, it won't be a shock to me, because I do think they have the pieces with that defensive line. But again, I always sort of, you know, put the money on Belichick to figure out a way to win this game. So, with all that being said, let's drop the audio for Locked On Eagles, Locked On Pats. I'll drop the first one here, and then I'll come back with a little bit of a break and a little bit of an intro to the second clip so that they don't run together, so that you clearly understand when one ends and one begins. So here's the first clip discussing how the Eagles deal with Rob Gronkowski.
With the Patriots offense, obviously a big feature is going to be Rob Gronkowski and how the Eagles are going to cover him. Malcolm Jenkins is probably going to be the guy to follow him around. Let our listeners kind of know how the Patriots deploy him, where they line him up, what type of routes they want to utilize him on, and how he kind of affects the entire offense.
The main issue is they'll use him anywhere. You know, they'll go wide ISO with him, isolate him, try to get you to sort of tip your hand coverage-wise, whether you run a linebacker out there, whether you run a corner out there, show man versus zone pre-snap. They'll put him in line. They'll put him in the wing. They'll put him in the slot. They will put him anywhere on the field, and they'll use him on a variety of routes. Obviously, against the Jim Schwartz defense, you're going to see a lot of single high looks, cover one, cover three. They're going to try to get him up the seams. They're going to try to bracket the safety, whoever that is. Maybe it's Jenkins in those zone coverage looks. Try to get him up the seam on those. They like to use him on wide cross. They'll do a ton of stuff with that as well. You know, red zone fades, they'll pretty much use him in anything. And the thing that I'm interested to see this week is if Philadelphia can do what the Jets did in week 17, where you got linebacker, safety, bracket coverage on him, and then pay man across the board. Yeah. If they can slow Gronkowski down that way, then they're going to have a really good shot at slowing down this offense. When I look at this Eagles roster, and seriously, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see somebody that I can just point to and say, just put him on Gronkowski. He's going to slow him down. There are few people on the planet Earth that can do that. But I think bracket coverage, linebacker, safety over the top, the Jets held Gronkowski without a target of week 17. Part of that might be designed. because you don't want to get him hurt at week 17. But still, that's an eye-popping statistic. And so that's been, could be my expectation. Linebacker, safety over the top, bracket him that way.
Yeah, what I would love to see, and I don't think Philadelphia will do it because they always put Jenkins over tight ends. And I think Jenkins, who has some success against tight ends, I agree with you, isn't a Gronk eliminator. He's not a Gronk eraser. I think that Gronk will handily win that matchup. They play Jenkins down at the Sam. They play him over the strength, usually defined by the 10. And for that reason, I'd love to see Nigel Bradham be able to sink underneath Gronk. I would like to see Bradham. He typically plays more of the Sam when they have Jordan Hicks in, but because he's injured, he's moved to the middle a lot because they have to keep Kendricks at will because Kendricks can't take on blockers at all, which is one of the big liabilities on this defense. And Locked On Eagles listeners know a lot about that. I'd love to see Bradham on Gronk because, like you talked about with that bracket coverage, you move Malcolm Jenkins around, you let him cover the slot wide receivers, which is the other unspoken big issue that you kind of get with this New England passing attack. But if you get Bradham, he's excellent. Bradham is instinctually as a cover man. He's one of the best cover linebackers in the NFL. He does an excellent job sniffing out play action, understanding releases very well, and he understands how to drop into his short zones to affect throwing lanes really, really well, right? And that's one of his great strengths. If you put him underneath a Gronk route, I think that's where he's the strongest as far as his coverage goes. That's what I'd love to see. I don't think they'll do it very often. The only way I think they get there is if slot wide receivers are killing the Eagles, which actually brings me to my next question. The game plan for the Pats coming in against the Jaguars, we kind of thought was going to be keep a lot of tight ends and backs on the field, keep their linebackers on the field, and then attack the linebackers in coverage. That's what we expected going in. That's kind of what we saw. A lot of slot wide receivers lined up on Jacksonville linebackers. Pats took advantage of that mismatch. Given that the Jaguars and the Eagles have a similar weakness at middle linebacker, Paul Posluszny for the Jags and then Danelle Ellerbe for the Eagles, do you anticipate a similar matchup coming in, a similar game plan, a lot of 21, a lot of 12 personnel trying to keep three backers on the field at all times?
Yeah, I do. And I'll get to that in one quick second, but I do want to mention back in 2014, Pats played the Bills in the regular season twice, obviously against a Jim Schwartz. Yeah. And, you know, in the first game, Gronkowski went 9 targets, 7 receptions for 94 yards and a lot of 33. And I've looked at that briefly, and it did look like they used Bradham at times, you know, in kind of that situation on Gronkowski. I haven't fully charted that game out yet. I'm not done quite doing it. But, yeah, I would start by looking back at that game back from October 2014 to try to get a sense of what Schwartz might do against Gronkowski. Now, to the other question, you know, what's been interesting in working through this postseason is seeing how the Patriots have gotten a little bit of an advantage because they've basically gotten – you know, similar type looks on both sides of the football from some of the teams they played. And to your point, Ben, it's the similar sort of situation. Last week, you're facing Ramsey and Bouye, two sort of lockdown type corners. DVOA, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars were 1-8 in terms of versus number 1 and number 2 wide receivers. And the numbers are the same. It's basically 2-7 this week between numbers 1 and 2 in terms of wide receivers. Obvious subjective component of that, but still. But now it's the same thing against, you know, number 3 receivers. Eagles are a little bit weak against tight ends, against running backs. Eagles are a little bit weak. So I'm expecting games from Amendola when they go 11. That's where they're going to look. I'm expecting a lot of maybe 21, 12 personnel. I'm even expecting some 13 personnel if the Patriots try to run the ball. Because there's stuff you could do schematically with 3 tight end sets against the Eagles and that wide 9 in the run game. So that's stuff that I'm looking for.
All right, guys, excellent insight from the Locked On Eagles, Locked On Patriots guys. Now let's talk about the let's get this last clip dealing with the Eagles pass rush, trying to slow down Tom Brady. And I'll come back after this clip is played to do the standard outro.
There's one big factor for me, and if this factor doesn't happen to the extent that it needs to happen, I don't think the Eagles have a chance at slowing the Patriots passing offense and Tom Brady down. It comes down to pressure. Okay. So when you look back at what the Patriots were able to do against the Falcons last year, everybody knows it, 28-3. On the way to 28-3, the Falcons were pressuring Tom Brady at a 44% rate. After that, only at a 30% rate. You look back to the Giants Patriots Super Bowl when they were able to get to Tom Brady a lot, they pressured him right at around 40%. The Eagles pressured quarterbacks at 41%. They pressured Case Keenum 27 out of 50 times. What is going to help the Patriots as far as slowing down the pass rush? Because this is a pass rush that isn't fancy. I mean, every now and then we'll throw in a stunt. We like, you know, blitzing from cover 0 on third down and in the red zone and all that good stuff. But this is a team that I feel, unlike the Patriots, can line up 4 and just straight up get after it. And that's kind of how you have to beat the Patriots. You can't be like the Steelers and blitz three and sit back with eight in the zone because Tom Brady's going to have all the time in the world and he's going to carve you apart. You can't blitz six. He's going to pick that apart too. You got to be able to get pressure with four. You have to get there consistently and you have to force him to get the ball out of his hands quickly and really muddy that first read for him. What will the Patriots try to do to either aid their linemen or via a lineman or a chip or whatever the case may be, because they have to do something. The Eagles are coming with that defensive line. What are they going to do?
Sam Monson over at PFF, Pro Football Focus. Average, this is a tweet that he put out today. Average NFL passer rating this year is 87.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's passer rating under pressure this year, 96.6. Mm. So Brady is under pressure 10 points higher than the average quarterback is on any given down, any situation. So
nonsense.
You can get pressure on him, but he's still very, very good and better than the average quarterback in the right. NFL, even in those situations. The thing that sets up well for the Patriots, I think, is we know Schwartz, we know the wide nine, we know the alignment. You get those guys outside, you use speed off the edge. Eagles have such great depth this year up front as well. You got Barnett, you got Lawn, you got guys you can rotate in and out.
Fresh, yeah.
If the Patriots can stay sort of in plus situations, third and three and things like that, I think they're going to be okay because that wide nine, the way it sets up, it allows Brady space to sort of step up in the pocket, which is what he does. He's not a guy that's going to bail. He's not going to exit the back door either way. Mm-hmm. The worry for me is this. If we get into sort of third and eight situations where they can bring their more speed package, where they kick Graham down inside, matchup to me that I'm worried about is Graham on Joe Thuney, the left guard for the Patriots. He's had some protection problems this year. He's given up some sacks. If we see third and eight and Graham over the left guard, that's where I think the Patriots are going to get into trouble because Thuney's not going to be able to block him, I don't think, sitting here right now. And that's how they're going to get that quick interior pressure. Plus, when they do blitz, and you guys know this well, Schwartz likes to go cross-dog up the A-gaps. And that's, you know, if there is that sort of playbook on how to stop Brady, it's quick interior pressure up both A-gaps. That's what Schwartz likes to do.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Just, you know, wanted to give out one more look at this Super Bowl matchup. This is the final game of the 2017 season now that we're in February of 2018. And now after this game, we'll do a rapid reaction on Monday. And then we'll start going deep on the offseason and talking more and more about the offseason. You know, I think probably between now and the combine, we'll talk a little bit. We'll probably do a lot more Q&As and whatnot. So if you guys send in questions just to fill in some content, because there's not anything specifically we talk about, I don't really have a whole lot to talk about, like what's going on with the Falcons. Like, okay, Matt Ryan's going to get a contract. Ricardo Allen might get a contract. We talked about that in the roster review when we talked about safeties. You know, Tack McKinley went underwent surgery. Okay, whatever, fine. Who cares? Like, you know, the point is, I think if you guys send in questions or things that you want me to talk about, then that will give us some quality content before we get to the combine. And then after we get out of the combine, then free agency will be right around the corner. So that's sort of the guide that I'm selling to you. And so, of course, the point is, the way that you send in your questions, the way you send in your comments, the way you send in your suggestions and all that type of stuff is, of course, Twitter is the easiest way to do it. My Twitter handle is FalFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. However, if it's podcast related, just you might as well send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. That way I automatically know it's podcast related. If you don't like Twitter character limits or you're not on Twitter, then you by all means can email at lockedonfalcons@mail.com, mail.com. And you can also post on the Facebook page, which is Locked On Falcons. Give us a like while you're there so you can stay tuned to all the stuff that's going on in the Locked On Falcons podcast. And of course, lockedonfalcons.com, falcfans.com is also where the show is posted daily. There might be a leftover mailbag up this weekend on lockedonfalcons.com. I said I want to do it. I need to look and pour through it and see what is available. I'm sure I can come up with like at least three questions that people ask that I can get some answers to before ahead of next week's episodes of Q&As and whatnot. So there probably will be something up there, but I don't want to promise, overpromise, and guarantee you know, whatever. It'll be up there. Check it out, lockedonfalcons.com. All right, guys, I'm done. I'm still getting over this cold. Hopefully, by the time I come back Monday, it'll be fully recovered, or at least, you know, back to 90%. So I apologize for the loopiness. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy your wings. I certainly will. trying to think, should I make, I don't know, whatever. Hey, if you have any, some wing flavor suggestions, send those in as well on the various address for me to make on Sunday. So that's the plan, guys. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the commercials. Watch the trailers. You know, there's going to be 6,000 car commercials and 400 insurance commercials. And it's just like, okay. So all it is beer, cars, insurance, and movie trailers. And then there's like one good commercial. Okay. You know, locked on Super Bowl commercials. That's what we're turning into. All right. I'm done talking. I'm rambling at this point. So enjoy the weekend. And we'll be back Monday to do a rapid reaction to the Super Bowl. And we'll talk a little bit about the Kirk Cousins trade. I mean, the Alex Smith trade and how it impacts Kirk Cousins in the free agency and potentially how it may impact Matt Ryan's contract on Monday.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.